And then we'll see where we go. Heavenly Father, as the scripture does tell us, you are our God, and early, or in the first place, we seek you. You are our primary one we go to. As the Apostle Paul wrote so many years ago, that Jesus, you're to have the preeminence in all things, and that means our lives, that we look to you first and foremost in choice, thought, decision, in action that we need to take with our lives. So right now we give you the preeminent place. We already have this morning, but we're asking that you have the first place. I'm asking, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit, even right now, as we know from your word, he goes down and searches out those deep things right now. He searches out those things that need to be communicated, even the things that I have not even studied, Lord, or looked at, to bring things to our remembrance, to bring things to my remembrance, to bring things to my brothers and sisters' remembrance, even right now, Lord. That one word can be spoken, if not already spoken, Lord, that you have already brought forth a revelation or some wisdom to your children here this morning. We have a desire, Lord, of a more purposeful encountering of you, Jesus. You didn't come to save us so that we could be in a religion, but we could be in a vital relationship, fellowship, back and forth, life with you. So help me communicate this morning some of the things that you've been communicating with me to each person's heart, to each person's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we were looking at a subject and it was just simply titled Purpose to Pursue. And as I have been pursuing the things of the Lord and looking at this subject, it has led me in some wonderful pursuits, some wonderful encounters, especially when we were looking at last week, John 1:14. And just thinking on that a little bit more this week. Speaking of Jesus, and I gave you some background, two different ways that people were looking at this or read this. From a Greek mind of the word, and the word became flesh, that word representing the all-encompassing thought of a divine deity, which we have come to know as God, and that deity, that God himself took on human flesh. And Jesus is the full mind of God, the full representation of God. As Jesus told one of his disciples when at the end of his ministry in John 14, I think it was Philip, he said, well, just show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And Jesus' response was, have I been with you so long, Philip, that you don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. So we have a full representation in the life of Jesus, an embodiment of what Father God is like and his ministry to children, his children, I should say. And the other thought along those lines that I covered last week was from the very first prophecy that God spoke against the serpent about there is one coming that is going to crush your head. Yeah, you're going to bruise his heel. And from that first prophecy of coming of a Redeemer all the way to the last prophecy that we even read about in Malachi chapter 4 concerning the day of the Lord and what God is going to do by turning the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers' hearts to the children, indicating a wonderful return that's going to take place to God, especially in the days and age in which we are living in right now, because John the Baptist was the first fulfillment of that, for the spirit and power of Elijah was on him. But that wasn't the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is yet to come. The corrective hand of God is yet to come on this earth, and it says that there is going to be a further fulfillment of that passage of a forerunner or forerunners of Jesus before his second coming. And I really believe it's the body of Christ worldwide. Instead of the embodiment of one person, John the Baptist, there's going to be men and women all over this planet that God is using to prepare, especially, number one, the body of Christ and the last day message of the gospel to reach all nations. Then that final day of the Lord is going to come. And so the Word became flesh was Jesus, the fulfillment of all those things about God's redemption that would be in His Son, Jesus Christ, that would come to this earth. And I told you the third thing that we look at is that God has a truth for us, that He has a Word for us, a revelation for us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that there is a truth that He has for you to become, a truth for you to realize, a truth for you to grasp, that you embody it, that you live it. We heard this morning during the offering a passage read from James that faith without works is dead, indicating that our faith should have an expression. Our faith should have a living out. It shouldn't just be something we say, it's something who we become, something who we are. And so what we believe in should be the expression of our lives. When we believe in Jesus, there's a certain truth that we have received of the Lord that we find ourselves living that reality, becoming that reality and living that reality. And this has taken me in such a wonderful journey because I've been looking at the body of Christ. I've been looking at my own life. I've been looking at believers' life, especially believers that are struggling. And we need to have a more purposeful encounter with the Lord, a more of a direct fellowship with the Lord and with one another. And during this time of this COVID, there has been a lot of separation. It has brought in separation. It has brought in almost a fear in people's hearts and in people's lives of gathering together. And yet, without each other, we're not a body. And the enemy can use something like this to keep people apart. And we have to realize that our faith is in the Lord and that He does want us brought to closer together with Himself and closer together with one another. Okay? And, you know, as I was thinking on this, in the very last verse that we ended up with last week, and I'm going to read it to you again. I don't think I even went to it. I just quoted it. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, the last part of it is something that has been an ongoing aspect of my Christian walk and my Christian life. Because I truly believe that God places things here in His Word to challenge our faith, but to also to increase our faith to the point that we become what it says. You know, John 1, 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word needs to become a living reality with inside of our life, and we walk around and we live this truth. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Every one of us here every one of us should have a confidence right now. For if we were all to breathe our last breath, or let's say the rapture occurred right now, the rapture just occurred and we are changed and we get a resurrected body, we all should have a confidence when we stand before the Lord. That number one, we've had communion today. We know that our sins have been forgiven. Hopefully we've dealt with anything that we needed to deal with when we took communion. That wasn't a ritual, it was a fellowship. You need to look at communion as fellowship. You're fellowshipping with each other. You're fellowshipping with God. If there's any business you haven't done, you allowed that business to transpire and take place so there's no breach between you and God. And you're so thankful for what Jesus Christ has done. And that there's a confidence at each, a boldness. As the Apostle Paul, he says in 2 Timothy, he said he knew that he had finished the race, he had fought the fight, and he had kept the faith, and that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for him. He was so confident of his eternal reward, and every one of us need to have that same confidence, that we should have a confident expectation that when I appear before the Lord, everything has been good. Okay, everything is, I'm right, that you're right before God. Okay, and we should all have a confident expectation that we have there will be a welcoming committee there for us. An abundant entrance, I believe, as Peter writes about, an abundant entrance for us. And we should have that type of a confidence. And if you don't, then you need to get that. You need to find out what's going on with you spiritually. Why aren't you confident? Why aren't you bold? Why are you like, oh, I'm not looking forward to that right now? Not to say that you don't want to live your life. I'm just saying if we were all caught up right now, we should be going, yee-haw. Not, uh-oh. Right? So if you got a uh-oh, let deal with the uh-oh so it can become a yee-haw, okay? But this last part here is a life lived. And see, for a person to have boldness in the day of judgment, because. And that's what it says here in the last part of 1 John 4:17, because as he is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And that should be a prayer of faith. You should take this as a personal statement that you have for yourself. As Jesus is, so am I living in this world. As Jesus became the Word of God become flesh, so that truth is becoming a reality within my life. So is Jesus' teachings becoming real in me. So is the nature and character of Jesus becoming alive in me, that when the Holy Spirit prompts, I find myself obeying. There should be something, there should be a faith talk, a faith belief, and then a faith walk. Amen? And you should have this same desire here. And so you take a verse like this, and I've personalized it, I've made it my own, that as Jesus is, so are we. And I told you last week that we were going to begin looking at four pursuits of Paul. We're not going to probably get into that today, maybe Wednesday or next Sunday, because something was interjected in between there as I was looking at this subject in my own life. And I think it's probably for some of us, especially in the time that we're living in right now, especially coming up to a time of election. Hopefully, number one, that you've all done your part. Okay, and if you haven't, you will do it soon. Okay, and that you are taking time to investigate the issues. You're taking time to investigate the constitutional amendments. You're taking time to look up the judges. You're taking time to look up school board people. You're taking time to look up people that you don't know about. And it takes time. It takes research. It takes prayer. It takes talking to God and finding out, Lord, show me how to vote my faith. Show me how to vote properly. Show me how that when I do cast my vote, it'd be as pleasing as it possibly can to you, Lord. And you might say, really? You make that a matter of prayer? We should be making all things a matter of prayer. You shouldn't just be going, no. Well, I don't know about this. Well, I don't know about this, Judge. Since I don't know about it, I'm going to kick him out. There are people that vote like that. They don't know, so I'm not going to vote for them. If you don't know, don't put it down. Hello? Okay, I go back and see who appointed them. All the information's available to see what governor appointed them, see how that they were appointed to the court. I'm able to go back and find out the civic organizations that they give their own finances to. Everything is online. If you really want to know about it, you can find out the details about anybody that's on that ballot. Okay. And you might be saying, wow, you're going in this direction? Yes, because something really hit me. Because if we have an understanding that we've done our part, I want you to know today that God will do his part. He has the final say in everything. Now, having said that, we know what Scripture says, and we may not like the way where everything's going. But he makes it plain. Remember, I've been telling you, we've been looking at Matthew 24. We've been looking at Mark 13. We've been looking at Luke 21. And Jesus told us beforehand the direction where everything is going, so we wouldn't be afraid, so we wouldn't be terrified, so we wouldn't be troubled by these things. And I still hear Christians to this day, well, United States is not going to go that way. United States is not going to go that way. United States is not going to go that way. And yet, I have a passage in Scripture that says all nations. Well, are we a nation? All nations are going to come up against Israel at one point in time in the future. That's what the Scripture reveals. That's just the way it is. No matter what you pray, it's going to happen because God has already told us in Scripture. Right prior to Jesus coming, to setting down his feet on the Mount of Olives, it talks about all nations are going to turn against Israel. Okay? That's just the way the Scripture says. God told us beforehand. Doesn't matter what you pray. God already said his way it's going to be. So you can't pray against it, because if you pray against it, you're praying against God. But while we're here, while we're presently here, maybe our nation at this present time, maybe that is not along that timeline yet. And so we do pray that our leaders would listen to God, but we do know that there's a leadership coming that will not listen to God, and that we will, at one day in the future, this nation will become an enemy of Israel. Wow. Why? Scripture says so. Are we to be terrified? Are we to let that bother us? No, we have to keep ourselves with a kingdom agenda. We have to keep going the way that the Lord wants us to go. Keep serving God as we need to be serving God. Keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep looking to the President of Presidents, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, looking to Jesus. We have to make sure that we're trusting in as we heard. I really loved what Scott, what you and Debbie shared today. We have to keep looking at God's economy or how God does things. Okay? And so here you have God's economy being revealed to Scott about instead of selling things, give things away. That's contrary to a present economy. That's contrary to how people normally do things. But it goes right along with Scripture, especially from the Apostle Paul, as he relays this statement about Jesus, that Jesus says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so Scott finds himself following this verse and then God bringing in a supply. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. You know, it's just so contrary to our nature or to the way that we would normally do things. And we were looking at Acts 9:15, I believe it's Acts 9:15, about Ananias, a disciple of Jesus Christ in Damascus, gets a word from Jesus to go minister and lay hands on this guy named Saul, for he is praying, and that he may receive his sight. And this is the statement that Jesus tells Ananias. I'm just doing a little background here before I get into what the Lord was speaking to my heart about. In Acts 9:15, but the Lord said to him, Jesus says to Ananias, go, he, speaking of Saul, which became later Paul, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And we took some time, just a little bit of time, how as Paul is a chosen vessel of Jesus, that we are all chosen vessels of Jesus, that all of our lives have something to accomplish for the glory of God. Every one of you are chosen of God to bear. And once again, when you look up that word bear, it means to take up, to put on, to carry, and to display the name of the Lord. When it talks about the name of the Lord, it's talking about the nature of Jesus, the character of Jesus, how Jesus would do something, how Jesus would speak, how Jesus would deport himself. It's when you're carrying the name of the Lord, you're carrying forth the very godliness of Jesus. How would Jesus respond to a situation that you're in? What would Jesus do at that moment? How would Jesus communicate? So you're bearing forth his name. It's just not a proclamation of the gospel, which we do, but it's how you live your life. How are you carrying the relationship that you have with Jesus? As a chosen vessel of God, your life should display the one that you carry his name. You bear his name, okay? Now, as I said last week, we probably, all of us have areas that we need to improve in, do we not? Okay, that we're not all caring or displaying the nature and character of the Lord as we should. And I said, if you point out an area, if you look for an area that a person's not following Jesus in, you'll find it. But if we'd spend more time in where God is working in a person's life, how Jesus has changed someone, then we will see that also. And I think we need to be exemplifying or looking for where God is working in a person's life. Amen? Hallelujah. So, you know, thinking about this, you know, and meditating on this, and yesterday as I was finishing, I usually do a quick edit on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night video, and I put it up on the website. Then I go in and do a more thorough edit and maybe cut some things out, splice some things together. And as I was doing that yesterday, editing last Sunday's video, all of a sudden, the timestamp 4031, I'm looking at it, I'm doing my editing, got my computer out, click, 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 putting a scripture in. And then all of a sudden, it's like the computer didn't freeze, but I froze. And all of a sudden, it's like the Lord was like, Mark, you need to stop right now because there's something I want to show you. So 40:31 comes up, and right away I know exactly where the Lord wants me to go. He wants me to go to that last verse in chapter Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. I said, okay. And so I just stopped what I was doing. See, we need to become that sensitive to the Lord that no matter what we're doing, no matter what project is, if there's a time to stop and God gets our attention, we need to stop and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit at that time. For some reason, I was more sensitive at that moment than I was at any time, and I just needed to stop and look at that. And so I went to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, and I read it. And most of us know this. Matter of fact, I even had a t-shirt years ago that said this. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, of course, me, I like to know things in context, so I started backing up and backing up and backing up. Before you know it, I was at verse 1, which is a good place to start. And how many of you know that in the day and age in which we're living, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. There's people right now in the body of Christ, maybe people you know, maybe somebody here today, maybe like the three that were prayed for this morning. Anthony, Pam, Frank Stocks, others that you may know, that need some comfort from the Lord right now. And as I was meditating on this and the subject of encountering the Lord, coming more in a contact with God's presence, number one, individually, number two, corporately when we gather, number three, when we're out in the world and thinking on this. Now, all these thoughts are coming to me as I'm meditating on this and how the Lord, number one, in order for me to minister comfort, the God of all comfort's got to minister to me. So we have to first be partaker of that comfort that we're ministering. And so allowing the Lord to minister to us so that we may be a vessel that can minister to other people. And he does want us. He wants us to be able to console. He wants us to be able to share something that a person may need to hear. No, that a person does need to hear. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. This word double for her sins is an expression of God's bounty. It's an expression of God's abundance. That as the result of the sacrifice of Jesus, have we not received abundance? Have we not received greatness? Have we not just received forgiveness of sins, which is very important, the complete remission of sins, but we have received so much more as the result of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. Yes, we celebrate the forgiveness of sins, but it has also brought us into becoming children of God. It has also brought us into receiving a grace of God. It has also brought us into a very connectedness with God as our Father, a communication with God, the ability that a high priest only had on this earth once a year to enter into the Holy of Holies, that you and I, at any time of the day or night, that we can wake up, we can talk and walk with God and enter that place that only the holiest or the top-ranking priest, the high priest, could only enter into once a year, and that we all can come before the throne of grace to obtain help in our time of need. Number one, because the blood of Jesus Christ was accepted there. Number two, that Jesus Christ has now become our high priest, and Jesus is the head. We are in him. We've been baptized into the body of Jesus. So if Jesus is there, we are there. If Jesus has access, we have access. Wherever Jesus is, we are. And we have access also. Not by anything I've done, not by anything you've done, but all by Jesus. So guess what? I can take full advantage. Yes, I do take full advantage of being able to talk to God at any time. And you should also. He's given us this ability, this abundance that we have received. He has just lavished upon us an abundance as the result of our sins being paid for. And there's some here that we, you, even me at times, have not partaken of the abundance that Jesus Christ has secured on our behalf that he wants us to experience. Sometimes we live so far beneath the finished work of Jesus on our behalf. Now, I'm just going to go ahead here and I'm going to drop down. I'm not going to be able to cover all of this, but I would just like to go down here to verse 9. O Zion, you who bring glad tidings. See, as a result of what Jesus Christ has done, we should have a voice. You should have a voice. There should be a proclamation. There should be something that comes forth from your life as the result of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. O Zion, you bring glad tidings. Get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring glad tidings, lift up your voice with what? Strength. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Every one of us should be a displayer, a revealer of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. There should not be a timid one among us. There should not be a cringing one among us. When given the opportunity, we open up our mouth like a trumpet and we trumpet the things of God. Unashamed, unapologetic, that we share forth that which we have partaken of. And the only way to share it forth in a bold manner is to know that you've been a partaker of it. Right? And so we find ourselves in the first and foremost place that we find ourselves doing this is with the body of Christ. We need to make sure that those of us that are partakers of Jesus, because the Word of God tells us that we're part of a body, that we're all connected with one another. And so if I'm doing good and this person here isn't doing so good, God's got a word, God's got something of what I'm experiencing for my brother or sister in the body of Christ, so that weak area, that infirm area, that part of the body that isn't as they should be can receive the life and nourishment that I'm enjoying to be imparted to them, so they can impart it to the next one and the next one and the next one. We all impact one another's lives. The question is, how are we impacting one another? Are we ministering or are we poking? Are we making it well or are we picking and making it worse? You see, we all have choices to do. You know, okay, I'm not going to get too much of that. No, I that's all I'm going to say on that. I just got a little, stop that, Mark. I said, okay, you said enough. Now, just a little bit ago, I asked you about your voting. Now, I want you to look at the spiritual side of things right now. We need to do our part, but I want you to know that God's over every part. Verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as small dust on the balance. Look, he lifts up the isles in every little thing. Now, if I had the offering bucket here, I could use it right now. Oh, I got this right here. I'll just grab this real quick. Excuse me, people watching online. Let me see if I can find... Denise, I'm going to dirty this a little bit. You'll have to wash this one. If this was a bucket, it's a small bucket. And I was just to go one drop, see if I can just get one drop. One drop, one drop, one drop, one drop. Oh, too many drops. Okay. That representation of a drop, all the combined nations, their forces, their armament in the world, as compared to who God is, the rest of the bucket. I'd really like to have like a 55-gallon bucket to do this, or a dumpster, something huge. But it's just amazing that God's trying to give us a visual here of the forces that we see that are going on in this world, about maybe somebody in the lab right now that is being told by their government, we need to develop a biologic warfare. You know, this COVID thing is really working good. We need to do something else now. You see, a lot of times the taking over of nations may not be by a nuke being dropped, but by people being infected and sent out to the nations, infecting others. Isn't it amazing that if you go back and look at some of the COVID maps of where it started, and start seeing the red spots from the beginning, pop, 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 all over the world, and then just seeing that red area just get larger and larger. Think about a person inside of a laboratory right now making something even worse. Okay? But I'm here to tell you that God's in charge of anybody in any laboratory. God is able to foil every plan of the enemy and foil any plan about anybody harming anybody and able to expose it and actually kill it. You know, I'm talking about killing that virus or whatever, that biological that they may be trying to do. And so they really believe that it is the warfare of the future. Just to infect a lot of people and send those people all over the planet, because they don't care if they die, because they believe that what they're doing for their country is the right thing to do. So they don't care about giving their lives when they leave and spread it. But I'm here to tell you, behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. They are counted but dust. I know you cleaned this up here, Bill, but if you're to see the sun come in and you see the little specks inside there, just see that one speck. This whole room being God, and that one speck that you see in the sunlight, are all the combined nations and their forces and what they're trying to do. That's all they are to God. Nothing. Amen. Nothing. See, you've got to get that kind of a picture to eliminate or defeat fear with inside your life. To dispel anything that the news might be saying, or maybe even what I may have just said. That's horrible. Yeah, but God's greater. See, that's what you got to go with. Not of what I just said, of what somebody may be doing in a laboratory somewhere, but God's in charge of that and can dispel the whole thing. Can even cause somebody else somewhere else to be creating something that if it does spread, that there's an antidote for it. Hallelujah. See, we've got to start looking at the greatness of our God, that we are part of God's economy, going to do what God wants us to do, and there's nothing that's going to stop God's agenda from being fulfilled. And that's why, you know, when we look at the four pursuits of Paul, but there's more than four pursuits, but there's four that I grabbed hold of, that he had four purposes, four desires of his life to accomplish, and nothing was going to stop him from accomplishing these four things. And there's, you know, if we have the same type of pursuit, it doesn't matter what's taking place in this world. It doesn't matter what's being released. It just doesn't matter, because God is in charge. Matter of fact, that there has to become, we are faith. See, I believe that God's trying to increase our faith during these times. That there's something that he's wanting to develop, because I know that there's a little pamphlet back there we've been passing out that Luther Meyer wrote. About receiving or expecting a miracle? She's going to read it. Expect a miracle. Do we expect a miracle? Or do we read that and go, yeah, I've done that before? See, we have to be careful. We don't let doubt and unbelief come with inside of our life. That God still, that he doesn't, some may think that, well, he's not doing miracles as he used to. Yes, he is. I am the Lord God. I change not. The yesterday of Jesus is a today of Jesus and is a tomorrow of Jesus. So what needs to happen within my life to connect to the reality of the fullness of Jesus? And I tell you what, there's been a pursuit with inside me, because when I hear a testimony, or not a testimony, a prayer request for Anthony Henson or Pam Lipka falling, or I hear about a man living alone, Frank Stocks, and Christine's been giving me the reports of Frank Stocks about what they're facing and what some of you have faced within your own lives. Isn't there something within inside you? We serve a great God that's got an answer for them. And Lord God, is there something you're wanting to work in me that if possible, you want to use me to help bring forth that answer? Is there something within you that wants to be a vessel of God to bring forth an answer to somebody's life? Yes, we know Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're his body, so he wants to bring answers through our lives into other people's lives. But yet we look at ourselves and we don't think that he can do that in our lives. And all that stuff he wants to get rid of. If the nations are but a drop in a bucket, then why don't we start realizing the rest of the bucket, the vastness of who God is? Instead of just having a focus on what God says, a drop, and we're magnifying the drop as it's everything, instead of the tiny place that the drop is occupying as to the greatness of who God is. We need to have a different focus. Amen? This thinking came from me editing a video. And then it's like everything freezes, 40:31. It's like, okay, Lord, you got my attention here. Why? Because the pursuit of my life is more of him. And at that moment, he knew it was a teachable moment. God knows your teachable moment. How many of you know that children have teachable moments? How many of us have tried to teach children in an unteachable moment? Trying to get him down. Now listen to me right now. I may be sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside. Now they're not hearing a word you're saying. And so we, hopefully we as children of God, that when he comes to us in a teachable moment, that we're able to just stop right then and just say, okay, Lord, you know, I got to finish this. I got this. I got to edit this and blah, blah, blah. You know how long it takes to render this? It takes hours for the finished project. I could go on with all these excuses. I can wait. There is something that the Lord is wanting to speak and minister to me right now, and apparently I'm in a very good place spiritually for him to say something to me, because my Father knows best, so I need to focus on him right now. And so looking at these things, and the next one here, in verse 17 of Isaiah 40, all nations before him are as what? Nothing. They are counted by him as less than nothing and worthless. So you know, when it's talking here, when you have to make sure that you're reading this with the right frame of mind. He's not saying that people are worthless. He's not saying the people of those nations are worthless. Their agendas and what they're trying to accomplish as compared to God's agenda will amount to nothing when God says that his purposes will be done and established and come to pass. That when compared to what God is going to do and what God is doing, all their agendas amount to nothing. And that's the focus you need to have. That's the proper way of knowing this, because you have to read everything in context from verse 1 all the way up to this point to get to a place like verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? How long has it been since you've been to Genesis 1:1 and to know the God who started everything is going to finish everything? The one who created, you know, I've got this cool app on my phone. I think it's called Stargazing. And I had put it, my neighbor had told me about it years ago, and so I put it on the phone that I have, and I saw some of these stars out there. I was like, wow, those are pretty bright. So you lift it up, and as soon as you lift it up to where that star is or where that light is, I saw Jupiter, and I saw Saturn, and I moved over there, and I saw Mars. I'm just like, oh! But the cool part is, it shows you the picture of it. And of course, the moon was next to it, so the moon, you know that. And I was like, oh, look at that. I was like, you are so fabulous. You're so wonderful, God. And here in my backyard, I'm having this glory time with the Lord in my backyard with this app. It's like, oh, how great and how wonderful you are. Look at all these things you created. Then you move it a little bit further, and you see some of these constellations and their names. And so I'm standing out there. Matter of fact, I was standing out in the backyard so long looking at all these stars, my arms started to get a little tired. Because it took my breath away about the greatness of God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? That the one from Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that what he started, he's going to finish? Do you have this type of understanding within you? That no matter what we see transpiring in present moment, now time, that God's in charge of the now time. And so you have to be careful what's coming across the news. You've got to be careful what other people are saying so that you're not allowing a spirit of fear to come upon you. But you are looking to the author and creator of all things, and especially your faith. Amen? Verse 23, it says, he brings the princes or the rulers or those who are in a position of ruling to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. And sometimes we think, well, you know, we got to get this person. And yes, we should be voting. We should be praying for a certain person to become part of the Supreme Court. But let me tell you, the Supreme Court of the United States is under the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court of Heaven. And if somebody wants to afterwards, let's say someone gets an office and they get an office and they want to pack the Supreme Court, God's over the packing of the Supreme Court. Oh, no, we can't let them get in there because they're going to vote all these justices in and they're going to bring their thing to pass. Are you looking at what they're going to do? Or are you looking at the one who's over them of what he's going to do? And at times we allow this present thing that's going on to as if it is in charge instead of God in charge. God's still in charge. Who's ever on there, whoever's not on there. God is in charge. Yes, do we pray? Yes. Do we believe for certain people to be in there? Yes. But remember, Satan hates the United States. He hates Israel. He hates Jesus. He hates the offspring of the male child, referring to Jesus, referring to us, the body of Christ. He cannot stand us. And the verses that we looked at last week from Revelation chapter 12, it talks about the whole world is under his deception, or in 1 John chapter 5, under his sway. Everybody outside of Jesus is under the sway or the deception of the devil. Everyone. It says all. And so we have to remember, we have to get that, so that they're operating under the sway of this deception of the devil, and they're making choices, no matter how good or bad that they may be making a choice. If they're unsaved, they're making it from a sway or influence of the devil, or with a wrong motive or wrong agenda, though it may appear okay on the outside. You've got to know the spirit that's behind all of this and the operation of that spirit. Yes, we pray. We join with Jesus. We are those seated in heavenly places, and we can pray against counsels. We can pray against people's words that are being issued out, that they fall to the ground and bear no fruit, that people that listen to them will not even hear, to be confusing to their ears of the things that they're trying to pass, especially if they're anti-Jesus. I find myself praying like that all the time, because at times the Lord's agenda wants to be spoken and prayed through our lives to get a thing established here on the earth. He wants to use you also. So I read something like, Lord, you're in charge of everything. You're the one who has the last say. That your vote is a final vote that counts in all things. And all things will be as you said they will be, Lord God. And all things will come to pass as you said they will come to pass. And so I thank you, Lord God, that I want to be a part of your plan, your purposes, your desires to glorify you while I'm left here on this earth. Do you pray like that? We should all be praying like that. Having an understanding that our life has meaning and our life has purpose, that God loves me, God is using me, and God loves you, and God is using you. Amen? So let me drop down here to the next set of questions. In verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord. Oh, wait a second. The word everlasting, he doesn't have a beginning, he doesn't have an end, and everything that he is will always exist and always be. Do you have an understanding that because of Lucifer's fall in heaven and man's fall on earth, that there is taking place, and it will come to pass, a restoration of all things? Remember, I took you not too long ago to Revelation chapter 21, the final, it is done. I love that, it is done. And it just brought me back to John 19, when Jesus says, it is finished. What Jesus secured at the cross and his blood, his death and his resurrection, the it is finished of Jesus has been brought to its final completion in Revelation chapter 21, especially the first verse where it talks about a new heavens and a new earth. And all that before, that death and hell and everybody whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, talking about even the devil and the verses above it, finally put in the lake of fire. It's just so exciting to know that the it is finished of Jesus is completely accomplished in Revelation chapter 21. It is now done. That's where everything's moving. Everything is going to go. Everything will be fulfilled that God says will be fulfilled. Everything will be as God said it will be. Is that your focus? Is that your agenda? Is that your present life? Is that your present belief? Or do we still find ourselves finite people receiving finite information instead of people that are born of God, that we now are connected with the infiniteness, the everlastingness of God, the Lord, the one who's in charge in and over all things. See, there's something that just needs to grab hold of you on the inside. The creator of the ends of the earth. It says that, what does it speak of God? He neither faints nor is weary. See, he's going to tie about who he is to who we are in verse 31. So you have to go back up here as he's talking here about the creator. He's the creator. When the early church was forbidden to speak or teach in the name of Jesus, so that this spreads no further, we will forbid them to speak or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. Yeah, right. That's like that's going to stop them from doing what they know, right? And you know, Peter and John are listening to them like completely probably dumbfounded. It's like, we're not listening to you. You know, we're not going to do this. But when they get together with their own company, they get together and pray and they address God as the creator. They take it right back to Genesis 1:1, knowing you're the one that started everything. We know you're going to finish everything. You're the one, you're over the rulers. See, they knew Isaiah. They knew this. They know that the Lord is over the rulers of this world. They know that he's the ruler over the nations of this world. You take care of them so we can keep doing what you've called us to do. So he addresses God. Because he quotes, Peter quotes from Psalm 2. What they're doing is against you and your anointed one. It's all against you that they're doing this. See, they're trying to, the focus was Peter and John. But when you attack the message or the truth of Jesus Christ, not to teach or speak anymore in the name of Jesus, it's a direct assault on Jesus himself. We have confirmation of that, right? Acts chapter 9, okay? Saul is persecuting the church. Jesus addresses Saul when he visits him, right? He's on the ground. Who are you, Lord? I think it's either in Acts 22, 24, 26, where when Paul gives his testimony that the voice spoke to him in the Hebrew language. So Jesus is speaking to him in the native Hebrew language. Do you ever wonder that when Jesus spoke like that, why he said, Lord, Lord, who are you? I mean, there was an instant understanding, God speaking the original Hebrew language, and he knows it's God, like, ID yourself, please. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Jesus is in heaven. How could he persecute Jesus? You touch a believer, you touch Jesus. You touch the message, you touch God. And they were forbidding in Acts chapter 4 to speak or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. And it was a direct assault. Listen, they're praying in Acts 4. It's against you that they're doing this. So you deal with them, but give us boldness to continue to speak. They told us not to speak anymore, and we don't want fear to come upon us. So give us boldness to speak forth your word. Continue doing what you did. And this is a part that I believe that our faith needs to arise to. We're bold. Most everybody here, if you're given an opportunity to share about Jesus, you will. You're unapologetic in your salvation. But we need to make sure, as I said last week, we need to know the ways of God, how God does things, but we also need to see the display of his hand. And so you see what they're saying, you deal with the governments, you deal with the leadership, you deal with the religious people, you deal with them. Let us do our part by you continuing to give us boldness, but we need you to continue to stretch forth your hand to heal and do signs and wonders. Now, it's very interesting, the phraseology that Peter uses here in Acts chapter 4, in the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, but Peter makes reference to the holy servant, Jesus. He's referring to as Jesus walked this earth when he was a servant of all. I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. Peter is going back to the example that Jesus lived when he was here on this earth, that we also can live that same example and have the same results as compared to the Jesus that walked on this earth. Our faith needs to start stretching out a little bit more. For his hand, God's hand is not short that it cannot save. God's hand is not short that it cannot heal. God's hand is not short that it can't restore. God's hand is not short that he can't fix somebody's brokenness. And we have to realize, and I think at times we want boldness to speak forth his word, but we've let a little bit off on stretching forth God's hand, that we still think that God can do the miraculous, the healing and the signs and wonders. And at times we backed off a little bit. I think God wants to restore our faith in specific areas. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the 9 major surgeries that I had in my life. I've had 9 major surgeries because of stupid things that I did. I had to get things sewn up and fixed up and just because of stupid choices that I made. I had 3 hernia operations before I was 20 years old. You know, it just had this right here, this cartilage in my nose replaced twice. I've got somebody else's cartilage here. They got it from a bone bank, okay? But it had to be replaced twice because of the fights I'd get into, and it was broken so out of place that they had to go. I actually woke up during the surgery when they're pulling out the first one, and you know, because he was Dr. Sorosky. He was like this with some sort of instrument breaking it out of my head, and I woke up. You know, I mean, I didn't feel anything, but I see his hand coming down. He's awake, and all of a sudden you feel this warmth. That gave me something. I was out again. He goes, "Do you remember anything?" I said, "Yeah, I remember you busting my face." And so I've got 2 different times of somebody else's nose cartilage inside my head. See, these were all things that all BC before Christ, before BS, well, before salvation. Got to clarify. Lord, help me with my initials here. Who said, "Oh Lord"? Was that you, honey? But what I'm saying is that we have to realize that if some people have to go the way of the medical community, you're not missing out on God, but God wants to elevate our faith to the miraculous again, to the supernatural again. And if somebody isn't there, that it's okay. As you've heard me say before, how is Luke referred to by Paul? The beloved physician. Not ex-physician. Paul, the beloved ex-physician. He doesn't do that stuff anymore. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Because at times people are going to need a physicianing. But remember, if you have the right look at all this, truly a doctor's job is to help get you well. Satan wants you sick and dead. Okay? And so even with this guy that I'm dealing with right now, God has just given me such favor with this Jewish doctor. We have these wonderful conversations. I am looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I am trusting God in a place right now as if like I've never trusted him before. And I'm seeking him, Lord, next direction, next step, next step. The steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. It didn't say the miles of a righteous person. It didn't say the weeks of a righteous person. The next step, the steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. And some of us want the miles of the Lord. We want way down the road. Hey, Rochelle, how you doing back there? And instead of the next step I'm supposed to take, let's trust God in the now. Right now where you're at, and ask him to increase your faith. Ask him to help your faith. Be like those original ones. Be like those original ones. It says here, that's how they address God, the creator, the ends of the earth. Back to Isaiah 40. Neither what? Faints nor is weary. God doesn't get tired out. God doesn't faint. And over here, this word faint, God doesn't fly off to run away. Isn't that nice that God's not going to run away? Now, we at times run away. It says, neither is he wearied. God doesn't come to a place where he is so toiled and so exhausted and he says, forget you. He said he doesn't do that. Isn't that wonderful to realize that God doesn't like have a little box there and says like, check Bill off. You know, and forget that. There is no searching of his understanding. We're never going to come to know the vastness, the endlessness of God's mind, his intelligence, his wisdom. But the Word of God says it's all available to me, though. I can find out anything about anything. If I really have a heart set on the Lord, there will come an understanding that I need to know. An answer will be given to me. He gives power. He gives, how many of you could use a little bit more vigor? How many of you could use a little bit more strength? How many of you could use a little bit more capacity in doing something? That's what it's talking about here. It's getting right down where we live. You ever get to the point, I just can't anymore? It says right here that God gives vigor. He gives capacity to do. He'll even grant of his substance so that you can. Substance so you can. It says to those who are weak. So up there it says that the weak here mean what? Fatigue or exhausted. You ever feel fatigue or exhausted? It says that God will give you vigor, force, the capacity to keep going, substance that you are lacking. And to those who have no might, those who have no effort, those who have no ability, it even refers to the word might, also talks about wealth, that you find yourself in a place of lacking. You find yourself destitute of wealth, destitute of ability. It says, and to those who have no might, no ability to do anything, he will increase strength. He will nourish you the strength that you need. You see, sometimes we just need to park on verses like this. We need to think on verses like this. See, if you truly believe that Jesus is saying yesterday, today, and forever, if we truly believe, as it says in Malachi 1 or chapter 3, I am the Lord, I change not, that this is still true today. But when was the last time we parked here? When was the last time that we applied this? When was the last time that we applied our faith like, you know, Lord, you know what I'm going through, and it just seems too much, but apparently when it's too much, when I don't have, you do have, and there's a supply you're willing to give me even right now. Amen? Even the youth, now we're going back to a natural realm. Look at some of these people that we've seen in the sports lately. I mean, look at some of these people on football teams and baseball teams and soccer teams, or any of you that watch that Friday night wrestling stuff. These are strong individuals. Two people they're holding up. It says that the person in their most noblest and the place of the most strongest in their life, they'll eventually get weak. They'll eventually wear out. How many of you that you've done a chore and after you've done it for a while, I'm just tired. You started out with great strength in the beginning, but then all of a sudden your strength will abate. You can't keep going. We have to recharge ourselves. God is perpetually charged. He doesn't need to plug in anywhere. He doesn't need to go to sleep for 8 hours to have his body restored. He is who he always will be, and he's always there with everything that he is at any time that it's needed. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Even young men in their prime of their life will come to a place where they will utterly fall. They will come to a place where they will be overthrown, fail, and stumble. My dad, once I started getting into trouble in life, he said, Mark, I was a fighter like you in my youth, but I learned that there's always somebody bigger and badder. Somebody's going to come along, and instead of them laying on the ground, you're going to be laying on the ground. So instead of a fighter, I became a lover. In other words, I wanted to be a reconciler. Instead of always fighting, I found out that I don't always win. And I didn't like being, you know, knocked out on the ground. So I became a person who tried to fix the situation. Okay, we got a difference right now. How can we work this out? You know, I don't want your fist in my face. I like my face, and what can I do not, you know? And so he tried, he called himself a lover or a fixer. He wanted to fix things. And when you're young and you think that nobody's ever going to get one on you until you find yourself on the ground and to realize something needs to change. Someone, somewhere along the line, whoever holds a championship belt eventually will be beat. Someone else is going to be bigger and badder, just the way it is, because your strength is going to get to a peak and then it's going to start waning off. Any of you experienced that yet? Your strength got to a peak and we're getting a little bit older. I don't walk as far. I don't do as much. It takes me a little bit longer to do things. Okay, so we come to a prime, and then we begin priming off. I was meditating on this the other day, and I was laying there in bed. I was like, wait a second, Lord. Wait a second. Joshua or Caleb at 80 was like, let's go take that hill. I said, that's what I want. It talks about Moses when he was over 100 years old and his strength abated not. There is a possibility for our strength not to abate. I don't want to end up like Isaac, blind in a tent. I said, so there are some, Lord God, who ended up blind in a tent, and there are some over their 100, in their 80s and in the hundreds, and their strength abated not. Let's keep moving. I want to be part of the let's keep moving bunch. How about you? I was laying there in bed. I was like, I'm not accepting this stuff here. We don't want to accept any of this stuff. Here I am trying to get some sleep before I get up early this morning, and I got so excited I couldn't go to sleep. It's amazing the thoughts that come to you. Okay, then down here to verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. How many of you know it takes time? Some of these truths that we've been looking at today, I'm going to wrap it up with this. Some of these things that we've been looking at, it takes time to meditate on some of these things. You have to go back to verse 1. You got to start going down through Isaiah 40 and looking up the different cross references and getting a really fresh picture of who God is and the charge that God has and the authority that God has and the power that God has and what God is still doing in this world and over this world and in your lives and through your lives. It takes time to wait on, to wrap around. You know, this word wait, it talks about to intertwine with, that at times we can think about it, but we haven't got it. And this wait on, it speaks about a grasping, a becoming one with, a uniting with. It's just not sitting there, I'm waiting. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, that I find myself going over these passages and over these passages. Yes, it is the Word of the Lord, but as I continue to go over it, I get this picture of God. Or I'm in the backyard with my little app. Look, whoa, look how wonderful you are. I'm getting revelation of who God is. And all of a sudden, the Word that I've been studying is becoming a reality in me. There isn't anything that you can't do what you want to accomplish. And Lord God, I open myself to all that you are. So it may take time for you just to sit there. Or it may take time for you to go out in nature. Or it may take time to use some of your smart technology. Like, oh, you are so neat. Because God will answer if you're hungry. Blessed, didn't Jesus say in Matthew 5? What's it, Matthew 5, 6? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, that they will be filled, stuffed, crammed, full. And I don't know about you, I think there's some of you today that need to be more stuffed, crammed, full of God. And it's going to take time for you to meditate. It's going to take time for you to research. It's going to take time for you to dwell on who God is. And allow yourself to be enraptured in Him. Allow Him to become great in your eyes once again. Allow Him to have the proper place that He needs to have within your heart and within your life. And just to stay there until the connection is being made. But those who wait on, those who find themselves, bind themselves together, or allowing the truth to bind with you that you can no longer be separated from. That truth is so real to you, you can't separate you from that truth anymore because it has become a reality in you and you possess it, and that no matter what happens, no one is ever going to take it from you. It has become bound to you. It's like when I had this little beverage I make at home. And at times I'll put a stevia soda in it, okay? What's that? Apple cider vinegar. And then I want a little bit of sweetness, so I'll put my stevia soda in with it. How can you separate the two once they've been mixed? I mean, can I pull out the soda again and have my own, raw apple cider vinegar drink? Or have the two become one? It's saying that when you wait on the Lord, that there's a binding that takes place, that there's an intertwining that takes place. When it becomes that real to you, you can no longer be separated from the truth that has now become one with you, that you are intermingled with that truth. Or we go back how we started this morning. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word has become such a reality in your life, you can no longer separate yourself from it. You begin living its truth. You become exampling its truth. You become displaying its truth. Or the last part of 1 John 4:17, as He is, so now have I become while walking in this world. You cannot separate me from the reality and truth that I have received in Jesus Christ. He is part of me and I am part of Him. Oh, Jesus' prayer. John 17:20, 21, 22, and 23. Father, as you and I are one, may they be one as we are one. There's a union that takes place that can no longer be separated again. When certain truths have been made real to you, you become an expression of that truth, and that's from that time on, that's who forever you will be like. And it says here that there's an entwining that can take place that will cause a renewal of our strength and that we can be a Spirit-led people or mount up as wings as eagles. It goes back all the way to Exodus 19. I don't have time to go back into that. It just simply says in Exodus 19, when God delivered them from Egypt, around verses 2, 3, or 4, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And it's all a work of grace. It's all a work of the Holy Spirit. It's all the finished work of Jesus. And all we have to do is basically outstretch ourselves and say, here I am, take me. Use my life. And be caught up to where He is. Be elevated to where He is. God has already done it in Jesus Christ. He wants us to have a rest of faith. The rest of faith. To have that word so revealed into us that it brings us closer and closer and closer to Himself. All because of His effort, but I do have to say, I stretch out my arms. I do believe in you, and I know that you're bringing me closer and closer to yourself as the result of it. I am renewed. I am strengthened. I am made more like you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that your abilities are becoming our abilities, that your life is becoming our life, that we do, Lord God, as a people of faith, ask for an increase of our faith. As that father said so many years ago, Jesus, when you talk to him about his demon-possessed son, where the disciples could not cast that demon out of him, and he brought his child before you, and you had a dialogue with that father about his child, and you just simply said, to him who believes, nothing will be impossible. And his response was, I believe, help my unbelief. I am one who believes, but there's areas that I need you to help me in to believe. And we are believers, Lord God. And there's areas that we are asking. I am asking. I'm asking for myself and I'm asking for my brothers and sisters. I'm asking, Lord God, on behalf of Anthony in a hospital bed. I'm asking, Lord God, on behalf of also Pam Lipka recovering at home. And Frank Stocks, Lord God, is a single man living by himself, and so many others on this planet that they're facing things, Lord. I'm asking also, Lord God, on behalf of others, for their strength, for their courage, for their trust, confidence, and reliance upon you to be increased, Lord God. That we also want to be like that centurion many years ago came to you, Jesus, about a sick servant. And he just said, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. We want that kind of a faith. We want to understand the authority, Lord God, of yourself and the authority of a word spoken in faith. That all we have to hear is a word from you, Lord God, and know it from you and allow it to proceed out of our lips, Lord God, for it to go and to accomplish what you have ordained it to accomplish. And it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish what you have sent it forth to do. And that servant was healed that very same hour. Father, there is something you're wanting to teach us. There's something you're wanting to show us. There's something you're wanting to reestablish in our hearts and in our lives. And so we thank you, Father. There's a truth of yourself that you're wanting to bring back to the forefront of our understanding. So we're asking, Lord God, I'm asking. We will purpose, Lord God. I will purpose. That you're going to teach us how to wait on you, to show us how can I bind myself to you in this area? How can I take this truth that I'm reading from your word, Lord God? And to stay with the truth about you that can that stay with it long enough that it actually becomes part of who I am, that it's actually bound to me, that it can no longer be separated from me, but it must work all the time within my life. Show me, Lord God, how to wait on you in such a way that truth becomes part of my very character, part of my very nature, and it can no longer be removed from my life. It is just who I am now in you. We know these things, but teach us to be bound with these truths. Teach us to be occupied with them, that they can no longer be separated from us, Lord God. There is a teaching, there is a ministry of your Holy Spirit that is transpiring in your church right now, Lord. From all the different word that we've heard and learned, and we've heard well, and we've been taught well. But there's a uniting of it, Lord God, with the Holy Spirit. There is a uniting, a merging, Lord God, of it. The Spirit of God who gave us the Word of God, the Word of God that we've been taught by the Spirit of God, merging it within our lives. So that we become the expression of it, Lord God. Never above you, but like you. That we're imitators of God as dear children. And we're learning to walk in love, Lord God. That we're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're allowing ourselves to go through the transforming process by the Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty, there is freedom, Lord God. Being transformed more and more into your image. We thank you, Father. These are truths that we know, but we want to become entwined with them, Lord. So that the strength that we exemplify is your strength. And the journey that we have is the journey walking with you in conjunction with you. Thank you, Jesus. I've been sensing such a closeness of your presence, Lord. And I know, Father, that you're speaking to so many of us. And others, just as the Apostle Paul said, let this mind dwell in you. And if this isn't a mind that you're thinking, that the Lord will even reveal it to you so it can be. So those of us that are embracing this right now, just like, yes, Lord, yes. And those of us that are like, whoa. He'll show you so you can. So just be encouraged with that. Because you need this type of a body right now, Jesus, in this world, because we live in a world of such dire need, and the true bread is the bread of life, Jesus Christ. But we must be first partakers of the bread to be givers of that bread. And so we thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.